NPR.
Hilke Shelman, how are you?
I'm good.
Welcome to The Indicator for the first time ever.
I know. Thanks for having me. It's so exciting.
And you are a freelance journalist. You're also a teacher at NYU.
I know. I torment young journalism students.
You've also brought us this lovely story about Nike and Amazon. What is that about?
Well, it's sort of like a showdown of the brands. You know, Nike is a gigantic, large apparel brand. Actually, the largest sports brand in the United States.
Okay.
And it recently said it's going to pull out of Amazon.
So it's not going to sell its stuff on Amazon anymore.
Yes. It's going to pull all of the direct sales out of Amazon. That's a big deal.
That does seem like a big deal. And in fact, Hilke, you brought us this statistic from eMarketer. That's a research company, which is that Amazon's market share of all online sales in the U.S. is about 38%. So it would seem kind of counterintuitive, even for a brand as big and important as Nike, to pull all their merchandise out of Amazon. But they're doing it.
Yes, and some have actually called this a crazy idea.
Okay, so we're going to talk about it. Today on the show, the mystery of Nike. Why the brand left Amazon.
And why Nike's move is an indicator that some brands think they can ultimately beat Amazon at its own game.
Support for The Indicator and the following message come from American Express. You want to build your business. They can help build your business with financing solutions for eligible business customers. The powerful backing of American Express. Don't do business without it. Terms apply. Visit americanexpress.com/business. This message comes from NPR sponsor State Farm. Why do you need State Farm renter's insurance? Because it helps protect the stuff landlords don't, like your furniture that gets drenched by a broken pipe. State Farm Renters Insurance. Find an agent or get a quote at statefarm.com.
Okay, Hilke, real quick before we start the show, we should note that you reached out to both Nike and Amazon for
Correct.
A comment. They did not respond, right?
Correct.
Okay.
But, you know, we wanted to know what was going on between Nike and Amazon here. So I reached out to a leading retail analyst, Omar Sard from Evercore. That's an investment banking advisory firm. He has actually tracked the retail market for almost two decades, and he had actually a lot of things to say.
The ultimate point here is that Nike believes Amazon needs it more than it needs Amazon, and that's why they're doing this.
Omar Sard says that Nike decided to pull out of Amazon for at least three reasons. The first reason is that over the past few years, Nike started to aggressively market directly to its customers because it wanted to be in charge of how customers experience the Nike brand. And Amazon just kind of fits less and less into that strategy.
Second reason, we know everything is about data. And in Nike's eyes, Amazon didn't share enough of the customer data Nike would have liked to get from this partnership. And here comes the third reason. Nike was upset that Amazon didn't do enough to police the gray market and the sale of fakes on their platform.
The long story short, I don't think Nike believed that Amazon delivered the experience they want for their consumers. There was too much gray, inauthentic, and unauthorized product being sold through the Amazon marketplace. You know, I once bought this, you know, what I thought was going to be this amazing golf bag. You know, it was a Callaway golf bag, which is a great brand. And when I put my golf clubs in the bag, the way the legs were placed, it tipped over. It couldn't stand up straight with the golf clubs in it. So it was clearly a fake. You know, thankfully, Amazon took it back. But those are the kinds of consumer experiences that people have when it's just kind of this open market, Wild West, cowboy marketplace.
Now, some of these third-party sellers on Amazon are selling fakes, but a lot of them are selling genuine Nike products. And they buy these products from a wholesaler, and then they're expected to sell those goods, those Nike goods, to people only in their local areas, out of their stores. But instead, sometimes these sellers don't stick to that, and they might go online and sell those goods to people anywhere and everywhere.
What they've been doing is kind of on the sly, changing their name and selling it through Amazon's third-party website at a discount. That's where this gray market is coming from. It's actually Nike's own existing customers.
So, Hilke, I've got to imagine that Nike was hoping Amazon would police these third-party sellers, right?
Yes. When Nike started selling directly on Amazon, they obviously had hoped that Amazon would start policing these third-party sellers and also would police the fake products on their platform.
Okay, and Did they do enough of that?
It doesn't look like they did enough.
Okay.
So Nike's pretty unhappy about this. And actually, if you look on Amazon right now, you still see that there is a ton of Nike products, even after Nike has pulled out of Amazon. So I talked to Omar about it, and he showed me how big this problem is. Oh, that's pretty crazy. Here, look at this shoe. So this Pegasus shoe.
Nike Air Zoom Pegasus 35 running shoe. The price is $83.99. ranging to $281.21. So, and you really have to pick your color and your size. There could be dozens, if not, hundreds of different sellers just for one Nike Air Zoom Pegasus 35 running shoe.
So, Hilke, it kind of sounds like you and Omar were getting a little frustrated looking for that Pegasus running shoe.
Absolutely. Looking through all the shoes, the different sizes, it was a frustrating experience. And I think that a lot of other customers have that same experience.
Nike's a brand that wants to protect how it's perceived and how the consumer experience perceives it, especially in these new digital realms, so to speak.
And today, Nike's business is all about that kind of consumer interaction. About 30% of Nike's sales volume is directly to consumers.
And that sector has been growing year after year.
They're selling direct to the consumer, and they're having that direct relationship with the consumer.
Yeah, and they also get the customer's data. Now, this is a total change from Nike's traditional way of doing business. For example, here's Omar Saad describing how Nike did business like 20 years ago.
It's a fascinating discussion because when Nike was 95% wholesale, their business model was, you know, do some high-level brand marketings, run a campaign like Just Do It and billboards and some TV spots. And then you wait for the phone to ring, and it's one of the retailers like Foot Locker or Dick's Sporting Goods. You know, let's have 20,000 yellow ones and 10,000 white ones. And, you know, Nike dials up its supply chain in Asia. And, you know, 6 months later, the shoes are being delivered to the retailers, and Nike's kind of wiping its hands, and the retailers are the ones that are owning that consumer interaction.
But now things are different. Today, Nike wants to know who is the customer.
Nike knows who I am, how old I am, kind of what income quartile I'm in, who my kids are, what sports they play. You know, they can see, you know, through the app what different kind of content we interact with and engage with.
Nike knows who you are, and based on that knowledge, the company will try to sell you more than the sneakers you came to the app for. It can do this wherever you're shopping, on Nike's app, in one of their stores, via social media.
Nike wants customers to emotionally connect to its brand, which hopefully will motivate them to obviously buy its products, and ideally directly from Nike and not through a third-party seller or through Amazon. But it does raise the question, what about the convenience that shoppers love when they do go to Amazon?
But you know what? Nike is doing that as well. Nike has two-day shipping and next-day shipping now. But the company also offers pickup in stores, so you can swing by on your way home from work and avoid the return hassle.
This is one of the clear advantages that traditional retailers have. They already have stores near where people live.
Nike has caught up in other ways as well. The company now puts tracking tags on most of its products, and it knows where every single item is at any given time.
And the tracking is not limited to one location. Nike can track inventory across their physical stores and warehouses, and the whole network serves basically as a gigantic distribution center.
This means that if you order a shoe, Nike can send it to you from their own warehouse or any physical Nike store, whether it's in Los Angeles or in New York.
You're seeing retailers finally starting to figure out how to use their store networks as a competitive advantage. And everyone thought that these digital disruptors were going to send retail into a permanent tailspin, and there has been massive disruption. Let's be clear. I mean, the business model has changed, the inventory model, how consumers shop. And it's taken several years for these companies to adapt. But to me, it's clear they're adapting.
Hilke, this kind of does raise the question, though, of whether or not other companies will also try to pull out of Amazon or whether it's just a Nike-specific thing.
I know. Well, it's too hard to say because the truth is big brands, they can probably pull it off. Like Nike, you have a strong connection, a direct connection to the consumer. Small brands, are they going to pull it off? Probably not.
But even those companies that can connect that well with the consumer, some of them may not want to pull out of Amazon, right?
Sure.
Like some of them might not care.
Yeah, they might love it.
Thanks so much for bringing us this story.
Thank you so much for having me.
Today's episode of The Indicator was produced by Jared Marcel. Our fact checker is Nadia Lewis. Our editor is Patty Hirsch. And The Indicator is a production of NPR.